This is session 16, which is very much a finale session. Last time, session 15, we finished all of the main content sessions. We finished going through the five sessions of spiritual connection. So we really have completed the connections program. But session 16 is worthwhile because it's really worthwhile to have a finale session to bring everything together. First, just as we did at the beginning of each of the modules, I want to review the connections program, the connections paradigm, that is. And you all know this by now, but at any moment in time, human beings dwell in one of two worlds. We're either in the world of connection or the world of disconnection. And connection involves coming together of two separate entities, two completely disparate, separate, and opposite entities, in fact. And that occurs in three central domains. We have ourselves. Within ourselves, the world of interconnection, we have body and soul. We have the interpersonal connection, the world of relating to other people and connecting to other people, us and others. And finally, we have us and God, our spiritual connection. And by contrast, disconnection involves a separation or an estrangement of those entities. Another point in the paradigm is that at each level of connection, we have a giver and we have a receiver. At this point, I think it's clear that those really are opposite processes. There's a process of providing, giving, guiding, and there's a process of accepting, receiving, and following. And a connection occurs when one of the entities gives to the other, provides for the other more accurately, and the other one receives those gifts. And that is how the process of connection works, the choreography of it, day to day. Another point in the paradigm is that the areas are hierarchical, that our relationship with God is at the top, our relationship with others is in the middle, and our relationship with ourselves is at the bottom. And what that means is that our relationship with God, our spiritual connection, is constrained by our relationship with others and ourselves. And our relationship with others will be constrained by our relationship with ourselves, by our inner connection. So really, interconnection is the most fundamental, interpersonal connection is the next fundamental, and spiritual connection might be the zenith, but the goal, an ultimate goal, but only when it occurs in the context of interconnection and interpersonal connection. And finally, with regards to the paradigm, according to this paradigm, we only experience anxiety and depression to the extent that we have disconnection in our lives. When we have healthy, thriving relationships between body and soul, with other human beings, and with God, we are protected from psychological suffering. To this end, throughout the program, we've been learning all these skills to be able to, not only skills, but really essential values and perspectives. I've kind of underplayed throughout the workshop that we've done the importance of those perspectives, and really focus more on the skills. And the reason for that is because I want you to be doing the activities. And people who are only attending the workshop, they're only listening to the classes without doing the activity part, they're really not going to fully understand, ironically, what's going on. I'll just go on a little tangent here. I had a very, very interesting email from a current patient of mine that I received yesterday, actually. And she and I had been working on a certain aspect in connection, and specifically in the world of interpersonal connection, an area within her marriage, in fact. And she was, I tried to inculcate a certain perspective in her for a long time, many months, in fact, of working with her pretty much on a weekly basis, trying to drip in this concept. And I didn't get very far. I mean, we did get somewhere, but it really wasn't where I wanted her to be, not where she wanted her to be, and certainly not where her husband wanted her to be. So over the last week, though, last week and a half, I gave her an exercise, and it was a very difficult exercise for her to do, very challenging. But she rallied, and she needed some coaching, and I helped her between sessions, and I sent her email messages, even a text, I think, or two. And I really wanted her to get it right. And she did, and she got it right. And yesterday I got an email saying that, I've been thinking, what we've been speaking about the last couple months actually makes more sense to me now than it ever has. And the whole thing clicked. I realized, why did it make sense to her? It's because she engaged in a behavior that was different. Her body by engaging in that behavior, by going through that basic physical action, changed her mental perspectives. And it did so in a far greater way than I ever could have done just by speaking to her about it. Anyhow, so to make my tangent, to bring it back to what we were speaking about before, there are essential values and perspectives in this program, and there are also behaviors, in other words, skills. The latter are in some ways more important because those will inculcate and give you a broader understanding of the essential values and perspectives and connections more than just listening to these classes. Okay, let's briefly review, though, what we did cover, both conceptually and in terms of our activities. So in sessions 1 through 5, we worked on our interconnection, our world of interconnection. We talked about 4 specific facets of interconnection, 2 of them to help the body to connect to the soul, and 2 of them to help the soul better connect to the body. First, we talked about our bodies, and we talked about how our bodies can accept the soul's guidance by sitting with discomfort and sitting with distress, and how it might be difficult, but by doing so and accepting the guidance of the soul, even though it's a challenge, the body can connect better to the soul. And the reason why we talked about it being connection is because the body learns to get outside of its own experience, outside of its desire, natural desire for comfort, and to dwell in the world of connection, which is the world of relationships, which might be uncomfortable, but comfort and happiness, ironically, are not necessarily the same. In fact, many times they're the opposite. Second, we turned our attention to the soul. We studied and practiced ways for the soul to provide for the body. We learned that the body has both physical needs and spiritual needs, and providing for the body's spiritual and physical needs are connection, because they of the soul, that is, and this is the quintessential role of the soul in our inner lives, in our inner worlds, is basically to drop the pedantics and to stop looking at the body as a tool to achieve an end, even if it's a noble end, and to think about what it is that I'm here to do, which is to take care to, if you will, man up, pardon the phrase, and take care of my child, my body that was given to me at birth. Third, we focused on our bodies, back on our bodies, that is, and the importance of opening up to the soul, expressing our needs, raising our issues, not buttoning up, B-U-T-T-O-N, buttoning up, not doing that, opening up. And this is because one of the most fundamental ways that the body can connect to the soul is by just speaking, by talking, by opening up, by being free without constraints. We had a video that I sent out called It's Not About the Nail, in which I think I made the point very clear that it's not about just getting things done or having functional speech. It's just about the process of speaking. And that in of itself creates connection between body and soul. And there's another thing there, which is that sometimes the body is distressed, or it's sad, or it's confused, and instead of dealing with the situation by opening up to the soul and by speaking about it, it will try to do so alone, and it will recuse itself from the relationship. It will become reclusive. It will become isolated, and that rarely makes the situation better. In fact, almost always makes it worse. And finally, our souls learned how to tolerate the body's idiosyncrasies with love and patience, how to provide specific and reasonable guidelines to the body, how to accept that our bodies will fluctuate, they will fail, they will have highs, and yes, they will have lows, they will have imperfections, and taking a long-term perspective to educate the body and to inculcate the values that we want over a long time, not over a short time, and not being frustrated. And all of this and more is connection, because the soul has to learn to distill these lofty goals into tangible, practical, inspiring guidance that the body is really able to follow. And then when the body struggles, not to blame the body, but to work with the body and to remain engaged in a relationship over time. If the soul's core role in connection is to be a giver, then there is never, ever, ever any cause to be harsh or critical of the body about anything. Even if it really and truly fails, we're there for ourselves. Corresponding to each of these higher order concepts, we had a series of exercises. Firstly, we started having conversations with ourselves, our bodies and our souls. We spoke to ourselves on a daily basis, at least three volleys, and hopefully those relationships and those conversations will continue and continue to grow over time. This is the kind of thing that I hope you will continue to do. We also had the body, which did activities even though it avoids them, even though it feels distressed about them, and engaging in those activities, learning to sit with the stress. We had our souls selecting and finding physical and spiritual gifts to bestow upon the body and to be kind, spiritually and physically on a daily basis. We had our bodies expressing our needs and raising issues to the soul, having conversations specifically about what the issues are that we are facing with our souls. And then we had our souls harnessing the core behavior of body-soul conversations by speaking words of encouragement and love to the body while conjuring up a recent failure. In other words, going above and beyond when our bodies fail to love the body and to still bestow kindness, goodness, and encouragement and love. And that was a summary of our inner connections exercises and concepts. Okay, in sessions 6 through 10, we turned our attention to interpersonal connection, to our relationships with other people. In the second module of the program, we worked on four aspects of interpersonal connection. Two of them focused on building connection, and then two of them focused on decreasing our disconnection from other people. First, we tried to increase our awareness of others' needs at three levels. We tried to increase the needs, our awareness, that is, of other people's needs that we do have, that we currently have, needs that we have had in the past, but we don't currently have. And then finally, needs that we have never had because some people have needs that we have never experienced because we are very different than them, either because of gender or because of culture or because of upbringing or because of our socioeconomic status or whatever it is. And corresponding to all of these, we had daily exercises of noticing others' needs, watching other people, seeing what their needs are, getting outside of ourselves, and focusing on the needs of other people, either needs that we have, needs that we don't currently have, or needs that we've never had. And these are a connection because by noticing others' needs, like I said, we're getting outside of ourselves and we're focusing on them. The second thing that we did, we put our increased awareness of others into action, into more action, I should say, because noticing in of itself is an action. But we took it the next step by actually providing for the needs of others. We strove to make hobbies out of it, to have loving acts of kindness, to really love and get into it like you just would, like you would if you were played golf or if you were a runner like me. You love these things and you want to talk about them and speak about, you know, shoes and running gear and which races and all sorts of stuff. That's the way that we want to approach taking care of other people. It's a hobby. It's fun. It is fun. Get into it. And this is connection because when we provide for others and we do loving acts of kindness, we're really getting ourselves into the world of another person in a fun way. We're engaging our emotions in a way that directs them towards our relationships with other people concretely. Third, we increased our sensitivity to disconnection. We started to notice these minor behavioral manifestations that we engage in habitually of interpersonal disconnection, either by not talking about certain topics or by not talking to people completely or by doing more egregious things, saying biting comments, cutting people off, maybe even getting physically altercation, getting into physical altercations with other people. All of these, though, even the lowest levels, whether it's snubbing somebody or avoiding them or screening their phone calls, these are ways that we exhibit disconnection on a daily basis from other people. And our first activity was just to count the number of times that we display any disconnection. And the reason this is essential is because by Western standards, a lot of the things that I mentioned are not a problem. They might even be lauded, like, great, you got that person back, good job. But that's not the case in the world of spiritual, the world of connection. The world of connection values a very high, has a very, very high standard for relationships with other people. a very different standard. And because of that, we want to increase our sensitivity to our disconnection. And finally, one of the hardest, this is definitely the hardest exercise in the entire program for me, session 10, personally, I'll disclose. We strove to remain connected to other people by readying ourselves for irritation, guarding against our disconnection, and bestowing goodness and kindness upon them when they cause us irritation and anger. When people aren't doing what we want, can we rise above that? Can we take the high road? And can we continue to bestow kindness upon them, goodness towards them? Can we continue to love them just like we would if they didn't do something that irritated us? And we visualized ourselves doing this, bestowing goodness upon other people who recently irritated us. In practice, I would recommend actually doing it, although it's a very high-level exercise. Or it's a hard exercise, I should say, a necessary but a hard exercise. That does go beyond the scope of this specific program. And, of course, this is connection because without tolerance and kindness, our relationships can't be sustained. Finally, in sessions 11 to 15, we turned our attention to spiritual connection. And in the spiritual connections module, we talked about four aspects of our relationship with God. Two of these focused on experiencing God's presence, receiving from God, and two of them focused on fulfilling God's will, giving to God. So giving and receiving. First, we focused on recognizing our limited scope of control. We had a very scary session in which we talked about how vulnerable we are and how many things could go wrong. And we talked about recognizing, firstly, just relying on God in simple activities, whether it's turning on the car or standing up or turning on a light or turning on your computer. And these are connection because they help us to recognize our dependence. But we also talked about recognizing how much we depend on God on a daily basis for major things like our safety and the purity of our water supply, that it's not contaminated, and the banking system, electronics, and our communications, and our privacy, and our health, all sorts of things. And to recognize and to depend on God for help and protection is critical for having a relationship with God, and a very good thing, even though it's scary. Second, we increased our awareness of order and design in the world. We talked about our corresponding activity, which we talked about at length, was contemplating nutrition and enjoyment, those two aspects of the food that we eat on a daily basis, thinking about how God placed nutrition and enjoyment into the foods that we eat. But going beyond that, we talked conceptually about having gratitude towards God, feeling grateful, feeling that God is taking care of us in a loving, kind, intentional way in order for us to be brought into a relationship with God, a spiritual relationship. Third, we used those feelings of gratitude to catapult us forward, to propel us into spiritual connection by developing a godly vision of ourselves and a godly vision for ourselves. We bravely recognize that we do have the capacity for greatness, tremendous capacity for greatness, and we contemplated generic ways and individual ways that we can contribute to God's world. And our activities to this, the corresponding activities, had 1 minute a day of dreaming about our purpose in life and thinking about how we can utilize all that bounty, all that goodness that God has bestowed upon us, all that gratitude that we have, all the things that we're grateful for, rather, to give back in some way, to do something meaningful that's going to be good for us and good for the world and good for God. And finally, in our last session, last week, we discussed the importance of exerting heroic efforts, stopping at nothing, whether it's stress or challenges or otherwise, to achieve our dreams. Pushing forward. And this is connection because it involves, by pushing forward, by pushing ourselves to our capacity, we realize very clearly that our dreams cannot be fulfilled without God. And we get right back to where we started, which was relying on God. So the more that we exert ourselves beyond our the more that we exert ourselves to our best efforts, we recognize that we are ultimately incapable to truly achieve our aspirations without divine assistance. and we have to turn to God for help. And that is the cycle of, if you will, spiritual connection, whereby potential cycle that we can engage in through our lives, a really rocketing, wonderful spiritual experience, where we start by receiving, we end up giving, and in the context of our giving, we realize how much we have to receive. And that is a beautiful, beautiful cycle. Okay. I'm going to give some recommendations, some general recommendations for how people can grow going forward. One of the hardest parts of learning how to get and stay connected is that in many respects, the Connections program, the Connections paradigm is diametrically opposed to Western culture. We are living in a sea of disconnection today. And there are so many counterforces to everything that we've learned in this program. As soon as we're off the phone, you're going to be pummeled by them by the thousands. The good news is that every single one of these exercises is really easy to integrate into the life. I think the longest one takes 90 seconds, maybe 90 seconds. So these are the kinds of things that you can punctuate your day. You can continue to engage and to live a connected life. Really, it's practical because let's say there are 90 seconds times 15 exercises, talking about a couple minutes of your day, 5 minutes a day, and it's all between things. It shouldn't be done at once, of course, when you're on your way to the supermarket, when you're coming home from work, when you're on your way to school, when you get up in the morning, do one. Even if you do two or three a day, it's going to have a massive impact. But I strongly recommend that people make the following permanent changes. Keep a chart. Keep charting. Continue to track your use of the activities. I don't think you should chart more than three activities, maybe four. Three or four activities max. You can start with your three favorite ones, ones that you like to do. And then every once in a while, if it's 4 weeks, 6 weeks down the road, switch it up. Pick something else. Sometimes you might hit a part in your life. You might have a bout of anxiety, and you might be really scared about something. Well, then pick up sitting with distress and do that for 4 to 6 weeks. You might be having a struggle with a spouse or with a coworker. Well, then pick up noticing needs or not disconnecting from them and put those on your chart for 4 to 6 weeks. But if you don't keep a chart, you don't have an infrastructure to be able to change. You don't have an infrastructure to be able to maintain connection on a day-to-day basis. Another recommendation I'm going to make is, well, continued behavioral practice. It needs to be, it's not enough. It has to be accompanied also by exposure and concepts in the program. So I recommend going over your handouts and going over these recordings. These recordings are perpetually available, and David Greenberg, I'm sure you're going to make them available on Simple to Remember. And knowing you, probably for free. There, and let them out. Let's, you know, they can go out to the world. That's a wonderful thing. Come back to the program. If you have a chart of what all the program is, you know exactly which sessions are going to have which concepts. And on your way to work, if you have a 20-minute commute, a 30-minute commute, pop in one of the tapes and listen to it. I do recommend people do at least once a month, spend 20 to 30 minutes reviewing things. And if it's 5 to 10 minutes a day, that's even better. And more frequently, potentially, during periods of increased anxiety and depression and stress. There's one more recommendation I'm going to make, which is to pray. To pray for increased connection. Prayer is a very powerful, first we talked about it in spiritual connection, but it's a very powerful tool spiritually because to change really does take a miracle. And we are engaging in all of the activity that we possibly can, realistically speaking, in this day and age, in order to remain connected and to create connection in our lives. But we need divine assistance. And if we pray to have connection with body and soul, with others, and with God, then that definitely is strongly recommended. There's one more point I want to mention before we end. Needless to say, there's a lot more to talk about here. Each topic that we spoke about, in fact, could easily be converted into multiple sessions. In fact, some of the secular treatments clinical psychology today, they focus on one aspect of the interconnection, body and soul, the sitting with the stress module. That can be focused on for a period of 20 weeks. And there are some treatments that actually utilize that approach. But there's one other thing that we just have to mention, and if we were going to neglect it, then I think we'd be shortchanging you. The zenith of connection, and I'm only going to mention this briefly, the zenith of connection, which brings together all three aspects, body and soul, us and others, and us and God, believe it or not, is nothing other than the world of physical intimacy. That is the holy of holies when it comes to connection. And I do have some material on it. I'm not going to share it in this context. Typically, it's the kind of discussion to have one-on-one with individuals. But I will say, because it's worth mentioning, that there is no activity that humans can engage in which is more densely packed with opportunities for connection than physical intimacy. And unfortunately, if you look around us, that one domain, it's everywhere in the streets. It's in advertisements, store displays, video games, but it's actually absent from people's lives. According to the National Survey of Sexual Behavior and Sexual Health and Behavior, which was done at the University of Indiana, more than 45% of married couples are not engaging with each other very much, and up to 55% of couples aged 50 plus have not been together in the last year. And it's a tragedy because this is a very potent force and a very unique opportunity that we have to create and harness connection. And as a culture, we're not only letting it go by on a day-to-day basis in our own lives, but in the context of our of intimacy as well. Okay, with that, I'm not going to make any practical behavior changes there, but what I am going to say is that it's been wonderful to be able to provide this this seminar in this format, and I want to thank David Greenberg for approaching me to do this, for encouraging this process, for setting up the entire infrastructure. All of us owe him a tremendous, tremendous debt of gratitude, And thank you very much, David, for doing that.
My pleasure. Thank you. This is really quite a privilege and an honor. Can I ask you a follow-up question on one of your last points, and then we'll open to questions from the audience?
Sure. Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay. So I know with marital intimacy, we can't get into that many details, but would you say that the major reason that there's so much disconnection between couples today is because they are essentially disconnecting emotionally, like you spoke about throughout the session, like they're not in tune with the other person's needs, and so when they're emotionally not there and not giving, and they're more into taking versus giving, that basically creates an emotional disconnection, which then automatically will affect the intimacy and attraction and hormones and things like that?
I mean, a lot of things are going on here. So, like you said, it's sort of a longer discussion, but I'll just put it this way. The world of interconnection involves accepting the body for who they are. A lot of people have body image concerns, and those get in the way of their relationship with other people. Another aspect of physical intimacy, which is clearly related to connection, is focusing on the needs of the other and getting outside of ourselves, outside of our comfort zones, and trying to meet that person where they are, trying to accept them for who they are, and not disconnecting from them. With regards to spirituality, there are so many aspects of that when it comes to sexuality. But one of them, most importantly, is that even if people aren't currently trying to conceive of a child, the act in of itself is an act of creation. It's a physical act of creation. All human beings that you've ever met and ever will meet came into the world through some sort of sexual process. Now, fine, even with IVF, there's still some aspect of implantation, there's still an aspect of giving and receiving. So there are very deep spiritual aspects to physical intimacy. So those are some of the ways in which you can see connections overlapping, not just overlapping, but you can see sexuality having a very strong connection to themes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have a question here, and for those of you on the call, if you press star 6 and the number 1, you can raise your hand and ask a question. Okay, so we have a question here.
Hi, Dr. Rosmarine.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, hi. My name is Ellie, and I have a question for you. You spoke about in the spiritual part, the last section about finding, connecting with your purpose in life, but it's not so simple to figure out your purpose in life. There's a lot of different works, different avoid that we do for it, but it's not such a simple matter. So what would you suggest?
Okay, well, let's go back to the actual session. Session 14, developing a godly vision of ourselves and for ourselves. I think your question is more about having a godly vision for ourselves.
Okay.
Not of ourselves. You're saying, how do I know what my role is in this world?
That's what you were talking about, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's
definitely part
of the connections pairing. Is that where you're struggling, though? That I try to identify what is our role in this world?
I'll tell you. Like I've been working with different ways, and one way is called through your yield. And basically what came out from my yield was that my yield is to try to focus what Hashem wants from me in the moment. So I don't know about like this vast purpose, my unique purpose like nobody else could do. I don't know how to find that, but I'm saying I try to go simple, like, you know, moment by moment, what does Hashem want from me now?
Yeah, I think that's very consistent with what we talked about in some regards. So like we spoke about in the program, there are certain things that everybody needs to do, okay? We all need to eat healthily. We all need to engage in physical exercise. We all need adequate sleep. We all have to have regular social contact with others.
Right.
If you're married and have a family, you have to take care of their needs too. We have spiritual needs such as prayer. We have spiritual needs such as connecting to God on a daily basis. In other words, just feeling close for a moment, literally a micron of a second. We have spiritual and religious study, which for some people it's 5 minutes, for some people it's many hours. So, but we have some sort of exposure to spirituality. And all those physical and spiritual needs of us and our people around us are aspects of our spiritual vision for ourselves. That's a generic vision that everybody has to do, but it's something that if we do them because God wants them, if I'm brushing my teeth because I think God wants me to brush my teeth or flossing, that is spiritual connection.
You mean doing L'shem Shemayim?
Yep, doing it because God said, doing it in order to connect. Now, beyond that, there are also individual levels, individual visions are ourselves. Those are the unique ways that only we can fulfill God's will. It sounds to me like you're getting a bit tripped up on that, and I don't know you well enough to try to figure out what the individual aspects of it are, but I do know that, A, if you believe and you see that you were brought here for a very specific purpose, you just believe that just in general. You might not know what the purpose is, but you know that God brought you into the world for a reason.
Right.
And B, you're doing generic things because you believe that God wants you to do them,
right.
I think over time it'll become more apparent to you what your specific vision is. That might take some time to cultivate.
But at least you're living with the right mindset.
Right, and that mindset is one which I think will ultimately bring you to having an understanding of your unique job in this world.
Okay, excellent. And I wanted to tell you, what got me hooked onto this stuff was really the first couple of sessions, the whole concept of the body and the soul, talking to each other. It was fascinating. I'd never heard it before in that context.
Thank you so much.
And I really feel I want, like you said before a few minutes ago, like it I want to stay on that for a while. Like so there's so many ideas. Each session is could, like you said, could go for many weeks. I want to try to maybe focus on the first few sessions and go over that a bunch of times, and then implement that before moving on.
That sounds great to me. I'll tell you that session 10, I've been working. It's kind of embarrassing. I shouldn't be embarrassed by it. I should be proud of my body that I'm actually doing it. Literally, I've been working on it for 10 years.
Uh-huh, wow.
I have it on my chart for 10 years, and there's activities I do on a daily basis and readings that I do on it. So whatever you need, man.
And the physical activity that you're talking about, could brisk walking count?
It's definitely better than being sedentary.
Right.
Vigorous activity.
I walk on a treadmill every day for like 40 minutes.
That sounds great. If you could kick it up, if you could eventually moving towards kicking that up to 30 minutes of vigorous activity, three, four times a week,
running?
I think pretty much. But sometimes people run, walk. You can run for a minute, walk for a minute, run for 2 minutes, walk for a minute.
On the treadmill.
On the treadmill.
I could check, make it faster. You mean, and then start
faster for 2 minutes, faster for a minute, and then you push it to 2 minutes, and you push it to three.
Uh-huh.
That's how a lot of people start out that way, and it's great. It's fabulous.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thank you for participating.
Hi. I didn't hear the full all of the sessions. I started hearing from online, from Simple to Remember. But the first few, when you're speaking about the body speaking to the soul, I was having a lot of trouble. Even if you spoke about people have trouble with it. But my trouble is like that my body doesn't have a mind on its own, and my soul, like, it's, I have one mind. So, like, how does, like, the soul feel something or the body feel something? It's hard to have a conversation within the same exact brain, the same mind.
Yeah, that's a very common question that people raise, a common comment. I find it interesting, though, that you started off by saying that you only started listening to the talks recently. So if I understood correctly, like how long have you been practicing having conversations with yourself?
About 2-3 weeks.
Right. So that's pretty good. That's great, actually. But I would give it more time. Your body and your soul. Part of the struggle here is conceptual, and then part of the struggle here is often behavioral. That these are two, according to the paradigm, they're two completely separate, opposite entities. Just like me and you are two different people, your body and your soul are two different entities, and they have very different likes, very different dislikes, very different perspectives, very different ways of seeing the world. The more
they do
you,
share the same.
They share the same apartment.
But not the same mind? Like not the same feelings, emotions?
My body wants ice cream, and my soul doesn't care. My soul has a perspective that it wants to conquer the world, change the world, make it a better place, connect to God. And my body also might want the certain aspects of connection, but without responsibility, we have very, very different ways of approaching life. One strategy you might do is doing something kind for your body every day, a very physical, basic thing. I don't know what you like, because I don't know you very well, but something that you can do just for your body on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes when people are kinder to somebody else, they start to recognize more who they are and more things about them. That we didn't talk about that in the – well, I guess we kind of did. We talked about it in the paradigm, in the program, because in session two, we started giving to our bodies. In session three, we started giving to our bodies. And that's a way of recognizing it better, and I think you'll have more of an understanding of who you are if you do that. With that said, if you do this for 2 months and you're still having trouble with it, then send me an email, and I'll try to try to come up with something new for you.
Okay, thank you very much. Also, a related question is that is the spiritual connection is pretty much very intertwined with body and soul, because if soul is all the spiritual and the more what we should be doing, then it's very much a connection with God, no?
It's different. It's very different because we're not, body-soul connection is about connecting within ourselves. Spiritual connection is about connecting with God. And the one is a prerequisite to the other. We talked about it in the sessions. So.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. I'd have to listen to all of them before I could really.
Right. Yeah. But I think we did talk about that at some points. Anyway.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Sure. Thanks for your questions.